Well, this Lent, we are doing something special. We are embarking on a journey with forgiveness. It's my prayer, it's my hope that you'll be able to draw some insights, that you will be able to draw something for yourself over these next few weeks on this series on forgiveness. And starting in a few weeks, on the 27th, we'll also be doing some Bible studies on Wednesday nights after our Wednesday night dinner to begin the dialogue and to study deeper about this thing called forgiveness. You know, Dale Carnegie, who was a self-improvement author and speaker, he tells about a visit to Yellowstone Park where he saw this great huge grizzly bear, all 11, 12, 13 feet of him high. And he saw this huge animal at this clearing in the woods. And he saw that this bear had decided to come down and to feed on some food. And this animal was alone. And then for several minutes, he continued to feast alone. And no other creature that would that inhabits Yellowstone Park dare come near this bear because of this bear's strength and size. But after a few minutes in the clearing, walked another animal that took his place right next to the grizzly bear eating his meal. The bear did not object to this other animal. And Dale Carnegie tells about he knows why. He said this, The grizzly, when encountered by a skunk who took place next to him, he knew the high cost of getting even. And so no other animal came by, but this bear, Dale Carnegie talks about, knew the high cost of what it would take to get even with this animal. Getting even most certainly gets in the way of making things right, doesn't it? The desire, the need to get even, gets in the way of forgiveness. Forgiveness is perhaps one of the most challenging things that we as Christians can attempt and to understand and to use. However, our lives can be so much better if we are able to enact forgiveness. Harvard Medical School, their health publications, once published a study for us that we can take advantage of to read. It talked about the health benefits of forgiveness, and this was scientifically studied. The researchers found five things that enacting forgiveness can actually improve our health. The first one, reduce stress. Researchers found out that mentally nursing a grudge can put our body through the same strains as a major life event. The muscles tense, the blood pressure rises, sweating can increase. The second thing they found was that another benefit was better health. One study found that a link between forgiving someone for betrayal also saw improvements in blood pressure and heart rate and a decreased workload on the heart. The third thing that the study found was that it improves and builds stronger relationships. A 2004 study showed that women who are able to forgive their spouses and feel benevolent towards them resolve conflicts more effectively. The fourth thing that the study found was reduced pain. A Saul study on people with chronic back pain found that those who practiced meditation by focusing on converting anger to compassion felt less pain than those who received regular care. And the fifth thing that the study found was that those people who enact forgiveness have a greater sense of happiness. That when you forgive someone, you make yourself, rather than the person who hurt you, responsible for your happiness. And one study even found that People who talked about forgiveness during psychotherapy sessions experienced greater improvements than those who did not. Forgiveness not only has health benefits, but it has spiritual benefits. In Luke chapter 7, if you have your Bibles, you have the scripture in front of you, you can turn to it. In Luke chapter 7, Jesus presents us with some important facts about forgiveness. Sure, there can be health benefits that can come from forgiveness. But he teaches us about the spiritual benefits. Not only did Jesus kind of break through to those who heard him concerning his teaching on forgiveness, he showed forgiveness. See, in the ancient world, way back in the day, in the ancient world, hospitality was considered the highest mark of piety. If you wanted to appear the most pious, the most observant Jew, you would offer extraordinary hospitality. And we find Jesus in the scripture. He's welcomed by a Pharisee who's named Simon. And Pharisees are Jewish lawyers of sorts. And he was invited to this Pharisee's home. And then a woman appears, and she brings an expensive jar of ointment that was sweet-smelling. And amazingly, this woman uses her hair to dry the feet of Jesus. Ladies, have you ever dried the feet of your husband with your hair? How many of you? Please raise your hand if you've used your hair to dry your husband's feet. It's in the Bible. How come? I don't see any hands raised. Don't look at you, sir. Okay. Look at Mike. Have you ever done that? Do you know how weird and disgusting that would be? Washing someone's feet is not a pleasant experience. And just think about in the time of Jesus. In the time of Jesus, your feet got pretty gnarly. They didn't have Nike or New Balance shoes to wear, to walk everywhere. They had dusty, disgusting feet. And yet this woman uses her hair to dry Jesus' feet of the ointment. Wow. The Pharisee in this story apparently knows who this woman is. Jesus knows who this woman is. This Pharisee, he knows the sin of this woman, and apparently he's not pleased. See, in the ancient world, to have someone like that at your house, you would get kind of a reputation. And here we see the Pharisee hit a wall. He hits a wall with the limit of his forgiveness. He limits the wall of who is welcomed in his house. His love, his compassion, his hospitality hit a wall. Marathon runners often reach a point when they run in a race where they wonder if they can keep going. They hit a wall. They doubt that they can even finish their race. Their muscles burn with pain, their strength is gone, they feel defeated. When I ran the Saratoga 5K on New Year's Eve night, I hit a wall. At mile, oh say, 2, I felt defeated. My thighs felt defeated. I can't imagine doing that for a marathon. I hit that wall and I said, oh my gosh, I don't know if I could do this. That's that wall when you hit. Your legs start to freeze up. You start to get tired. Wonder if you can finish. As we run, figuratively, in our Christian lives, I think all of us reach that point too. Faced with our sin, we begin to doubt God's forgiveness for us. Will I really finish the race? Will I receive the prize? Are my sins too great? Faced with the burning pain of the troubles of our life, we begin to doubt God's love for us. And we think, why doesn't God take away this from me? And so we feel defeated. We hit that wall. When we talk about forgiveness, we Christians face two walls. First is the wall of the Pharisee. His wall was one of limited forgiveness. Because of his station in life, his high position, his forgiveness and compassion stopped at this sinful woman. We Christians, we have a hard time forgiving those who we think are not worthy of our forgiveness or should not receive forgiveness because those people, they didn't follow our prerequisites. Second, we Christians face another wall. We face the wall of sin, like this woman. Society or culture makes us think that we're not worthy for us to be forgiven. We're not worthy of forgiveness from God or from other people. This woman in this story was not a popular person in her village. Clearly, the leaders of the village knew who she was, and they didn't like her. I'm sure she was persecuted to a point, day after day, that she felt that she could never receive forgiveness. You know, as a pastor, I meet these two types of people. One, the person who struggles with giving forgiveness. And two, those who struggle to receive forgiveness. Those are the two walls of forgiveness. Those are the times when you hit the wall. And we need to turn to the words that the Apostle Paul wrote in Romans chapter 8, verse 31 through 39. He talked about that when we believe in Jesus Christ, you will more than conquer. For in Jesus Christ our Lord, no accusation can rob us of forgiveness. And nobody can separate us from God's love. No one can. Jesus turns this situation in Luke chapter 7. He really turns it into a teachable moment for the Pharisees. And he turns it into a teachable moment for his disciples, for this woman, and for us. The problem with forgiveness for Christians, it requires us to ask the question, can I forgive? Can I forgive? Can I forgive someone who's betrayed me? Can I forgive someone who's made my life a wreck? Can I forgive someone for hurting me so bad I hate them? Clearly, for this Pharisee, he could not. His wall of forgiveness was too great. The second question, for maybe some others of us, is can God forgive me? Because I don't think he can. I don't think that God realizes how awful of a person I am. The things I've done, the things I've seen, the things that I regret. For those of us whose guilt is too great, we are forced to think that God would never forgive us. That we have done something so horrible that forgiveness is not even in God's vocabulary. This woman, she knew of her sins. People around her probably didn't treat her as though she could ever be forgiven. Her wall was too great. Two walls, two questions, two problems. There's a story that comes out of modern-day Korea It's a story from the 4th century AD. It's about a man, and he had two sons. And the elder son, he rose up and became the chief justice in the land. He was the chief judge in the land. And the younger brother became an infamous bandit, a thief. And the elder brother, he loved his younger brother so much. But after all the days and years of trying to change his ways, to persuade him to stop stealing, to stop doing all these awful things, he was never able to get his younger brother to change. Well, eventually the time came that the younger brother was caught. He was caught stealing, and so in the land, because his brother was the chief judge, the younger brother was brought before the older brother. Everyone in the courtroom, everyone who was there in that setting, thought the younger brother would get off scot-free. Because it was well known that the older brother loved his brother and that he had the power. He had the power to just let him go free. But in the end, the older brother did something unexpected. He sentenced his younger brother to death. But then something peculiar happened. On the day of his execution, the elder brother came to the younger brother in prison. And the older brother said to the younger brother, "Let's switch places." Well, the younger brother agreed, thinking that once everyone realized that the younger brother wasn't the judge, they thought the execution wouldn't go forward. There's no way people would do that. So the younger brother went to the hill to watch his older brother be brought out. And to his horror, his older brother was executed. The chief justice was just executed right in front of him, his own brother. Well, he was filled with remorse. And he ran down, and he told the guard his name and who he was, and that he was the criminal that should be executed. And the guards looked around, they looked at his records, and they said, "There's no sentence outstanding with anyone of that name." This morning, ask the question, can I forgive? Can God forgive me? The answer to both questions is a resounding yes. But only if you can break down your two walls. Our holy elder brother, Jesus Christ, paid a debt and washed our slate clean. We owe no more to pay for our sins. But often, like the younger brother in that story, we don't really think that God forgives us. But he does. Often our guilt of our sin crushes us into thinking that we are not worthy or we do not desire forgiveness. But we are. God loves us so much that he washes our slate clean, that when we come to believe in Jesus Christ, you are forgiven of everything that you did, everything that you have done, and everything that you will do in your life. Jesus paid our debt for sin for us. God is not mad at you. God wants to forgive you. But don't put up a wall thinking that you are not worthy. You are worthy. Because God loves you and I so much, he wants you to know that you have the power to forgive. You have the power to tear down the wall between you and your brothers and sisters and forgive. You want to know why? Because God has already forgiven you. You have been given the ability to forgive. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old things have passed away. All the things that have happened have passed away. And behold, all things have become new. In Luke chapter 7, Jesus chose the occasion of a sinner and a rigid Pharisee to teach us that we have the ability to forgive, and so does God. About how God will forgive us and how we need to forgive others. Today, may you receive the health benefits and the spiritual benefits by knowing that God forgives and that you have the power to forgive others. Today, may you know that if you're in Christ Jesus, you are a new creation. That we are to tear down the wall that we put up to forgive other people. And we are to tear down the wall we put up between us and God, thinking He would never forgive us. This week, this Lent, you are called to receive forgiveness from God. And in turn, you are called to forgive others. Can I forgive? Yes, you have the power to do it. Because if you are in Jesus Christ, you are a new thing. You are a new creation. Can God forgive me? Absolutely. His Son, Jesus Christ, was put upon a cross for everything that was done and everything that we will do. And He offers it to you if you're willing to receive it. May you believe in the power of forgiveness and how it can change your life. Let us pray. God, we wonder, Lord, do I have the strength to forgive my brother, my sister, my mom, my dad, my friend, my coworker, my neighbor? Could I ever forgive someone for doing something so horrible to me? And Lord, we wonder sometimes, God, my life is so messed up. I'm so depressed. I'm not worthy. I'm just a beat up, broken down person who doesn't deserve anything. But Lord, during this period of 40 days of Lent, help us to learn through this series and through these Bible studies of how to do that. Lord, now that we know that we have the power to do it, now that we know that you want to forgive us, Lord, help us in this task through this series to begin to discover how we can go about doing it. Lord, we pray that we can discover the practical and the spiritual ways of doing that. Lord, bless us as we journey through this, that you may help us. Help us forgive ourselves, to forgive one another, and to receive forgiveness from you. Bless us in this challenge. In Jesus' name we pray.